Schneeweiß und Rosenrot, Rock'n'Roll, Heavy Metal, Kultur und das Leben. Der fetzige Podcast mit Cora und Shake.
Im Februar und März 2025 durfte ich zusammen mit der Rockband Wolverine auf Tour. Ich war den November zuvor gerade auf Familienurlaub in Kanada, als ich von der Bassistin Robin Frank eine Textnachricht erhielt. Sie fragte mich, ob ich denn Zeit und Lust hätte, auf einer insgesamt fünfwöchigen Tour zusammen mit Thundermother und Cobra Spell für das Wolverine-Set die Leadgitarre zu übernehmen. Eine richtige fette Tour mit großen Hallen und einem richtigen, echten Nightliner, den wir noch dazu mit Thundermother teilen würden. Ich dachte zuerst, ich lese nicht ganz richtig. Natürlich musste ich damit. Auf Tour zu gehen war schon immer mein Traum. Und es sollte sich auch herausstellen, dass ich mit meinen Traumerwartungen nicht falsch lag. Ich hatte eine grandiose Zeit on the road. Shake und ich waren parallel gerade dabei, die erste Episode unseres Podcasts, die mir gerade lauscht, zu veröffentlichen. Und ich hatte mein Podcast-Mikro mit dem Gepäck, um mit den Menschen, mit denen ich täglich die Bühne teilen durfte, ein wenig über ihre Eindrücke, Erfahrungen und Bilanzen zu plaudern. Wolverine ist eine 2019 gegründete Rockband aus Wien, die Punk, Rock und Metal zu einer einzigartigen Mischung verbindet. Im Kolossal Aschaffenburg saß ich mit Robin von Wolverine zusammen in einem Backstage-Raum, der an diesem Tag gleichzeitig das Büro unserer Tourmanagerin Mimi war. Im Interview sind außerdem noch die Schlagzeugerin Bea und Susi, die nun ehemalige Sängerin, zu hören. Ein paar Wochen nach der Tour hatte Susi ihren Austritt aus der Band Wolverine in den sozialen Medien angekündigt. Die Band macht nun in einer neuen Besetzung weiter und ist dieses Jahr unter anderem noch auf Festivals wie dem Tolminator, dem Area 53 und dem legendären Wacken Open Air zu sehen. Hallo, hier ist die Cora von Schneeweiß und Rosenrot im Backstage in Aschaffenburg vom Kolossal. Genau, und ich habe die Ehre, mit Wolverine auf Tour zum sein. Bis jetzt war es für mich eines der grandiosesten Erlebnisse meines gesamten Lebens. Und wir haben gerade gespielt, wir kommen quasi frisch von der Bühne und neben mir sitzt die Robin.
Ja, servus miteinander.
Servus miteinander. Wie geht's? Wie fühlst du dich? Wie hast du die Tour bis jetzt so erlebt?
Ja, du, so prinzipiell living the dream, würde ich sagen. Aber natürlich müde auch, vor allem heute. Ja, man schläft halt wenig.
Ja, vor allem die Days off, die sollten eigentlich der Erholung dienen, aber es ist dann trotzdem immer sehr, sehr, sehr gemütlich, da die sagen.
Ja, na, es ist halt gerade für uns einfach stressig, weil viel zusammenkommt. Es ist ja nicht nur die Tour, sondern auch der Album-Release, der gerade vor drei Tagen passiert ist. Und da das alles noch so von on the road parallel zu managen, da bleibt dann oft ist natürlich nicht so viel Zeit.
Ja. Übrigens Glückwunsch zum Album-Release. Fast Lane ist seit jetzt 4 Tagen raus oder so. Ne? Und die Verkaufszahlen, so was ich mitkriege, sind enorm. Also herzlichen Glückwunsch.
Ja, vielen Dank. Wir freuen uns, dass wir es endlich draußen haben.
Und ich finde es voll geil, Songs aus dem Album zum Sprühen. Das ist der Hammer. Die Bea steht da hinten im Eck, die wollte jetzt dann gleich essen, aber vielleicht kann ich kurz noch eine kurze Bilanz snatchen für dir, wie die Tour bis jetzt so war für dich.
Ja, Wahnsinn. Also wirklich coole Gelegenheit. Und auch die Travel Crew ist so einzigartig, also allein mit den Thundermother Girls unterwegs zu sein und die auch offstage besser kennenzulernen. Also das war sehr inspirierend bis jetzt und sehr cool. Also es bestärkt mir in meinem Weg, also in der Idee, einfach Musikerin zu sein, zu sehen, dass es andere Frauen gibt, die das einfach machen und die sich auch so identifizieren selbst als Bassistin, als Schlagzeugerin, als Gitarristin und so weiter. Das ist schon mega.
Ich finde es persönlich auch ultra... Also ein ultra krassen Schritt, in die richtige Richtung, dass man einfach zu dritt, also mit drei Frauenbands wirklich auf Tour geht und da sein Ding macht. Glaubst du, Robin, dass das irgendwann einmal so eine Art Normalität wird, dass man so eine Art Frauenbands-Tour mehr hat? Oder glaubst du, es ist doch eher so eine Art, eine Art eher kommerzielle Sache, dass man weiß, okay, Frauenbands zählen halt einfach sehr, weil es immer noch was Exotisches sind. Was ist so deine Einschätzung für die Zukunft?
Also ich bin eigentlich schon relativ guter Dinge, dass sich das immer mehr ändern wird zum Ausgeglicheneren, sagen wir es mal so. Aber es wird auf jeden Fall noch länger dauern. Also ich sehe das jetzt nicht in den nächsten 10 Jahren, sagen wir mal. Ich glaube, das wird schon noch deutlich länger dauern und wahrscheinlich nicht mehr in unserer Generation normal werden, sagen wir es mal so.
Mhm. Ja, leider. Also ich habe das Gefühl, dass das immer nur was Besonderes ist, was ja auch nicht unbedingt schlecht ist. Aber es ist zumindest der Schritt in die richtige Richtung. Da würde ich sagen, ja, genau. Ja, was hast du bis jetzt so auf Tour? Gibt's irgendwelche Lernerlebnisse oder gibt's irgendwas Neues für dich, was du mitnehmen kannst aus der Tour?
Ja, Kabeln mitnehmen, die lang genug sind, das ist die Lektion Nummer 1, würde ich sagen. Gleich prompt bei der ersten Show in Hamburg Kabel zu kurz gewesen, weil ich dann doch die Bühnengrößen ein bisschen unterschätzt habe, die wir da haben. Und das Bass-Stack ist einfach so irrsinnig hoch auch, weil das noch zusätzlich auf Risern draufsteht, dass da ein 7-Meter-Kabel schneller mal zu kurz wird. Ja. Also das mal so auf technischer Seite. Und sonst, ja, man lernt halt irrsinnig viele praktische kleine Dinge, so, was hätte ich noch mitnehmen sollen von zu Hause, was ist total überflüssig, was ich mitgenommen habe. Ja. Und halt auch einfach ein bisschen, man lernt ein bisschen auf sich zu achten, wann muss ich mich zurückziehen, wann brauche ich kurze Ruhezeiten. Und ja, aber sich selbst auch an der Nase zu nehmen, dass man einfach in einer Travel-Crew ist und man sich einfach zusammenreißen muss und ja, damit es halt nicht irgendwie ungut wird.
Ja, voll. Man lernt seine eigenen Grenzen in gewisser Weise, ja. Also wann muss man sich zurückziehen, wenn man merkt, okay, ich bin jetzt gerade nicht sozialfähig. Wann ist man sozialfähig? Also das war für mich auch immer so ein bisschen eine Challenge, weil ich muss immer so ein bisschen jeden Tag auf mich selber hören, wann ist der richtige Zeitpunkt? Und ich finde, dass mir das hervorragend machen. Ich weiß nicht, wie es in andere Tour-Crews ausschaut, weil ich noch nie auf Tour war, aber ich finde das Gefühl, also wir haben hier ein sehr, sehr harmonisches Miteinander, finde ich.
Ja, absolut. Das würde ich auch unterschreiben, weil ich glaube, es gehört natürlich auch auf der einen Seite das dazu, dass man sagt, okay, bevor ich jetzt irgendwie zu zart werde oder so, nehme ich mir mal meinen Space und ziehe mich zurück. Mhm. Und aber natürlich auch die anderen, die einem das zugestehen. Mhm. Ja, also dass einem da nicht irgendwie nachgelaufen wird und so auf die Art, und wo bist du und wo bleibst du und magst du nicht und kommst du nicht und dies und das und dieses und jenes. Also da muss man einfach auch ein bisschen sich runterchillen, glaube ich.
Ja, total. Ja, was sagst du zum Publikum bis jetzt? Wir haben jetzt, wie viele Shows haben wir jetzt schon gespielt? Ich glaube, 22 haben wir jetzt schon gespielt. Wie war das Publikum für dich so?
Du, ich würde sagen, das ist immer so ein Auf und Ab. Genauso wie die Venues selber ein Auf und Ab sind. Manchmal sind die Leute einfach motivierter, manchmal sind sie das nicht. Manchmal ist es aber auch einfach so die Art von gewissen Städten, also oder Ländern sogar, dass man da halt dort nicht so wild abgeht, dass das dort einfach normal ist, beziehungsweise unnormal, dass man abgeht. Mhm. Und so variiert das von Stadt zu Stadt. Aber es waren auf jeden Fall einige Highlights dabei. Also München hat mich diesmal wirklich komplett weggeblasen, muss ich sagen. Also im Backstage haben wir wirklich schon öfter gespielt mittlerweile, hauptsächlich immer am Free and Easy Festival. Aber dieses Mal eben im Werk, was die größte Halle ist, das war gesteckt voll.
Mhm. Das war wirklich enorm. Was mir persönlich auch super gefallen hat, war Paris. Während der Show, weil die Leute richtig Bock gehabt haben. Es war ein sehr kleiner Club, aber die Leute haben Bock gehabt und wirklich Party gemacht. Und danach, in der Nacht vor Paris, habe ich kotzen müssen. Da ist dann losgegangen im ersten Teil der Tour.
fällt mir gerade auf, haben wir eine Grippewelle gehabt, wo im Prinzip von einer Crew von über 20 Leuten bloß vier ohne Kotzen oder Kacken rausgekommen sind. Alle anderen hat es wirklich erwischt, das war arg.
Ja, das war so eine richtige Epidemie, kann man sagen. Ne? Mhm. Also das hat uns viel gekostet. Aber man lernt sich auch anders kennen.
Man lernt sie anders kennen und es schweißt sich irgendwie auch zusammen. Also das, danach waren wir echt so ein bisschen, wir waren mehr noch eine Gruppe, wie wir davor waren. Aber ganz
ja, auf jeden Art. Fall. Na sicher, weil man natürlich auch beginnt, sich um die anderen zu kümmern. Ja, und die gerade nicht können, werden von denen versorgt, die gerade können.
Ja.
Und dann dreht das Rad sich weiter und dann legt es die Nächsten nieder. Und dann kümmern sich halt die jetzt wieder aufstehen können.
Ja, ja, zum Glück war es wirklich auch bloß so ein Spuk von 4 Tagen insgesamt. Bei mir war es 2 Tage lang, dass ich mich nicht wohl gefühlt habe und das Ganze war dann echt innerhalb von 4 Tagen erledigt. Aber diese 4 Tage waren echt krass. Ja, genau. Was war denn das coolste Erlebnis so für dich auf Tour?
War das coolste Erlebnis. Also ich muss sagen, der Moment, der mir bis jetzt so am allermeisten ans Herz gegangen ist vielleicht, war die Show in Nürnberg. Und das war die Abschlussshow von der ersten Tourhälfte. Und da haben uns ja die Sandermatter-Mädels raufgebeten, alle auf die Bühne zu ihrem letzten Song in der Zugabe. Und das war schon echt ein krasses Gefühl, da wirklich so 15 Frauen auf der Bühne zu haben, die da komplett Party machen. Und du hast das richtig im Publikum gesehen, so die Leute. Also das war für mich ein bisschen ein geschichtsträchtiger Moment, das muss ich ehrlich sagen.
Habe ich auch so empfunden. Es war wirklich, also ich glaube, dass so viel weiblich gelesene Personen auf einer Bühne stehen miteinander und Party machen und sich selber feiern. Ich weiß nicht, es hat sicherlich schon irgendwo mal gegeben, aber nicht in dem Bereich, wo wir uns aufhalten, im Metal, Hard Rock.
Genau.
Bereich. Und das war auch für mich ein sehr, sehr empowerndes Erlebnis, muss ich sagen. Also richtig, richtig cool. Ja. Ja, ich will uns eigentlich gar nicht mehr länger aufhalten. Wir haben genug zu tun. Wir müssen Merch machen. Wir müssen unsere Zeit noch ein bisschen genießen und die Mimi ärgern. die Tourmanagerin, die bei uns gerade dabei hockt. Genau. Hast du sonst noch irgendwas loszuwerden, liebe Robin?
Also ich kann nur sagen, alle, die hier zuhören und alle Frauen, die hier zuhören und die gerne Musik machen würden und das bis jetzt aus egal welchem Grund noch nicht in einer öffentlichen Form gemacht haben oder vor anderen Menschen gemacht haben oder mit anderen Menschen gemacht haben, traut euch einfach, weil es ist das Beste, was man machen kann.
Ich stimme zu 100% zu. Ich muss mich auch ganz herzlich bedanken bei Wolverine und überhaupt auch der ganzen Crew, was für eine geile Zeit ich hier habe. Ich vermisse natürlich meine Liebsten zu Hause, aber es ist ein unfassbar cooles Erlebnis und es bestätigt mich nur mal in dem, was ich machen will. Genau. Jetzt kommt die Susi gerade nur eine. Das ist schon wieder. Vielleicht mag die Susi nur schnell ein Wort loswerden. Wie die Tour so war bis jetzt.
Ja, super. Ich hoffe, dass wir weitermachen können, nämlich gleich sofort danach.
Genau, man hat jetzt schon so den Groove drin, gell? Eigentlich könnte man jetzt noch 4 Wochen weitermachen oder für immer.
Der nächste Plan ist, wir zahlen uns einfach alle die Gagen aus und dann leben wir davon.
Perfekt. Sounds like a plan. Okay. Ciao dabei. Baba. Bin auch schon voll österreichisch unterwegs. In der Zeche Bochum hatte ich dann die Gelegenheit, mit Sonja Anubis zu sprechen. Die Gitarristin Sonja ist Gründerin und musikalischer Kopf der mittlerweile in Barcelona ansässigen Heavy-Metal-Band Cobra Spell. Als sich Sonja im Backstage neben mich setzt, kommt sie gerade frisch von der Bühne und die Euphorie über eine gelungene Show steht ihr noch ins Gesicht geschrieben. Hello, this is Cora again from Schneeweiß und Rosenrot. I'm talking in English again for a change. I have the wonderful Sonia Anubis sitting right next to me. And she just played a show, just came off stage. And now we're sitting backstage and I have the chance to talk with her a little bit. How are you doing, Sonia?
Great. I mean, I'm still with the adrenaline of the show. They're like,
oh. Awesome. How was the show?
Nice, very nice. I mean, sold out Bochum.
Yeah.
I played here like 3 or 4 or 5 years ago. Yeah. I don't remember, many years ago. And when I saw the kitchen, I remembered, oh, I've been here before. It's nice to be back.
Yeah, the catering is amazing, eh?
Isn't it? Yeah. The food is great.
And how has the tour been for you and all of you guys so far?
Pretty amazing, actually. Like the audiences. Damn, like a lot of people. And certainly after a year releasing 666, which is our album, to be playing in front of so many crowds is awesome.
Yeah.
Around all Europe.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I basically experience the same as you right at the moment, which is very unique, I find, because we can relate. It's been super, super amazing for me to play in front of so many people
every day
and
every freaking day,
and it's and they are partying and having the best time. It's
very supportive, actually, also
supportive.
So bless you. Has there been any experience for you during that tour which you would say is a super, super nice experience?
Wow, I think every day something very special happens.
Mm-hmm.
Let me think, because there's so many. I would say playing in Berlin was one of my favorite shows, certainly because the crowd was very engaging.
Mm-hmm.
And there's where I started doing a different move on stage, which is spinning around. And
awesome. You did a tornado.
Tornado.
Wow.
And
that's cool.
I kind of felt like the light of the spotlight, like, in my eyes.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to explain it in words. It was such a feeling of I'm doing exactly what I love doing, which is just playing. And I think that was the most amazing feeling that I had throughout the whole tour, was that moment where I saw that spotlight and I was just spinning around and I felt like such freedom.
I can relate. I know that kind of feeling when you're on stage and feel so connected with the people, and you realize in that moment that this is the exact thing you want to do for the rest of your life.
You can totally feel the same, right?
Like, yeah, absolutely. I can totally relate. I've tried some tornado moves too, but I'm still like in kindergarten level. Like when I see you on stage, because you're getting pro in it. I see you turning, and
sometimes I can't do it because I will get very dizzy. But
yeah, exactly.
I have the good days, and then I'm like,
but I'm like, okay, slowly let's twist on the heel of my boot. But it's. But it's still not like I'm still practicing.
Yeah.
But talking about practicing, how does your musical upbringing look like, and when did you start playing guitar? When did your musical career start, in a way? Maybe you can say something about that.
I actually started as a bass player when I was 14 years old. And before that, I was a classical flute player.
Wow.
Like the dwarfs. Yeah. Flute. I don't know how it's called in English.
Yeah, it's flute.
Yeah, transverse flute or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was kind of boring for me because I always been a little bit of an ear player. And reading from the partitures, the sheet music was very boring to me, and I wanted to play just by ear and along to songs that are fun. And so I started playing the bass at 14, and I just only played Kiss songs. I was completely Kiss maniac, every single song.
Yeah.
And 2 years later, I started playing the guitar, but not so serious. I was 16 years old, and I would call it as a bedroom player, just at home, like.
Yeah,
I call it like a shrimp, because you have the like completely like this in the shrimp player.
Shrimp player.
Yeah, I was like a shrimp player, and I was always a bass player in bands for many years until I was 18 years old,
And there I was asked to play guitar for Burning Witches. And that was my first band where I was playing as a guitar player. And that was weird change because I was so used to playing like this.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's kind of how my career kicked off. And from then I became from bass, I became a lead guitar player.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah.
So very cool. Yeah. I started as a classical guitarist. Like I had a classical... I got taught classical guitar for 10 years, actually. And I had the same problem as you. I was, you probably could read notes, sheet music, but I kind of lost track at some point. So I got overwhelmed, and then I started only listen to the music. So I basically learned those sheet music by listening to what I heard. And in the end, it helped me because it makes things easier for me when it comes to learning songs from people people who have written songs and I have to learn. So it came in handy pretty nicely. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't able to read sheet music anymore. I'm trying to learn the piano, but it's such a whole new, it's like learning a new language again. Like I can understand the language, but speaking it is hard. For sure, like
absolutely, yeah. I forgot a lot. I got very rusty on sheet music. I would love to, you know, start playing classical guitar again a bit more because I actually really like it. Yeah. And yeah, you said you played bass in bands. Were those bands like were they mixed gender or were it? Susie is just coming in.
Rock bottom.
Rock bottom. Awesome. She's got... Yeah.
She's doing some advertising.
Now it's escalating. What did I want to say? I was asking, was it mixed gender?
I started playing in fully male bands just because that was what I could find.
Yeah.
So, and only... death metal bands. Mm-hmm. I was totally death metal bassist, playing brutal death metal, old school death metal, melodic death metal, you call it, for many years, like 7 years straight. Yeah. Uh-huh. And they were all male, fully male bands, and I was the only woman.
Yeah.
Or back then, girl, because I was quite like underage.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, finding women in metal is super hard. Like,
it's hard. It's extremely hard.
So... the first band where I played with a girl was in a band named Jackal, which is a very old school heavy metal band from the Netherlands. I played there for only 3 months, very short, until I got asked for Burning Witches. So that was like a super fast change.
Yeah.
And that's the first band where I played with an all-female formation. Mm-hmm. And from then I have played in Crypta also, which is an all-female formation. And Cobra Spell has been an all-female formation for a while.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's...
How do you like that? This is like... well, I guess that as soon as you play in an all-female band, you get a bit more buzz on the media.
Hmm.
But like in general, how is it for you to... What's the difference? Is there a difference playing with males only or... with females, or what is your opinion about the whole thing or your experience?
Well, I'm the kind of person that sees personality instead of gender. So I get friended by someone's personality, other if they're a woman or they're non-binary or whatever they might identify themselves as. I think it's really about the person you're working with. There can be a man that is professional or unprofessional. There can be a woman that is professional or unprofessional. It really depends on the person.
Yeah.
But the thing that I really like about working with women is that you have a lot of things in common of experiences.
Yeah.
For example, you go through the same problems that you have in metal music, or maybe you have menstruation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you can lend each other tampons, you know, that's something that is amazing, or you can share about personal things that you can relate to.
Yeah.
Some things that go way deeper. And that's what I like about playing with women, and especially also you're doing something special in a scene where there's not many women playing an instrument. It feels very special when you see other girls or women saying that they picked up the instrument because of they've seen you.
Yeah.
And I think that's very powerful.
Yeah, it is very empowering. That's what I experienced here on that tour too, is like it's a great thing. It's a great development for us as women who play music instruments, who make music, to go on tour with each other. Yeah, it's amazing. I totally agree.
Happening way more.
Yeah,
way more.
Yeah. Do you think that it's at some point it's going to become some kind of a normality?
To have all female...
Yeah, like tours. Yeah, like really, like there's... if it would become some kind of a more equal thing, you know?
I know from other bands that I have heard from or talked with in the, that there are some bands that are not into that, which I don't understand. And I hope there is more from bands wanting to do something like this. Because I feel like there is sometimes a little bit of competitivity, which I think is not necessary and sad to have that this, because we are so little all-female bands and we should instead, like doing like in this tour, be together.
Exactly.
Like tour together and promote each other.
Yeah.
Because we are so little of us. Like we have to support us instead of
be, you like know, fight each other or compete with
yeah.
each other. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
this happens a lot with bands. Like bands want to be the best, and
yeah. And I'm still, you know, that's the struggle of my life basically, because I, on the one hand, I enjoy being a woman who makes music because it makes me special in a way, because it creates lot of people look at you and wanna see you play and stuff. But on the other hand, it's like I would love if more women made music, you know, because it's I want to see more women make music.
Yeah.
So I can totally see your point. Yeah,
especially because I have many experiences and many reviews that I read saying like, oh, she can actually play the guitar.
This is so crazy. And you hear it so many times.
So many times, especially because of the way I dress, you know, and I dress in a certain way. And I know it's kind of, you know, outgoing and extra, and you can name it any way you want, I hope. And this means that I will be always looked at as a person that is calling for attention instead of a person that loves the music that she's playing. And I'm the kind of person that I love both.
Yeah, it's crazy, eh? When you are a woman who is playing music, you're always objectified in a way because you're a woman, you know? And that's especially like you just said, when you...
people think that I'm asking to be objectified
yeah.
when it's not the point. I'm actually seeking for freedom
yeah.
and seeking for... seeking to normalize
yeah.
my situation. If there's a man doing the same as I do, he's a rock star
yeah.
and he's doing it very nicely. If there's a woman doing it, she's just being a commercial
yeah.
exploited woman. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you mean.
It's true. I'm just trying to get out of my inner blackie lolly somehow. Yeah. I don't know how to explain
it. Which is amazing. And I love to see that, because every girl, every woman has to have the chance to find their personal freedom in their own way. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like I personally would feel weird if I had the same stage outfits as you, but
anyone has their own way of expressing.
Exactly,
yeah.
And as long as it makes you happy, it's the best thing.
Yeah.
Very cool. Let me see, what else do I have here? Actually, I asked you everything I wanted to ask you for the moment. I'm sure we just got to know each other, but I'm sure we're still gonna cross our ways. Yeah. Do you have anything to say about the tour, or about, do you want to say anything to your fans or anything?
Well, I want to thank you for this interview. I feel honored. I mean, it's awesome. You're a great guitar player.
Oh, yes. Thank you so much. Likewise. All right, Sonia, enjoy your evening. Enjoy the rest of the tour. And Keep on rocking.
Thank you.
Zuletzt konnte ich im Kapitol Hannover mit Philippa Nessil von Thunder Mother sprechen. Philippa ist die Gitarristin und Gründerin der Hardrock-Band aus Stockholm. Jeden Abend legen die vier Frauen als Hauptact eine 1,5-stündige Show hin, die allerorts die Hallen zum Kochen bringt. Als ich sie für unser Gespräch treffe, kommt Philippa gerade von einem ausgiebigen Nachmittags-Familienspaziergang ins Backstage zurück. Hello, this is Cora from Schneeweiß und Rosenrot podcast again. Still on tour with Thunder Mother, and I have the honor to speak with Philippa of Thunder Mother, guitarist and songwriter.
Hello, very nice to be here.
We've been sharing the tour bus for like over 4 weeks now. Yeah.
24 shows.
Yeah, 24 shows. And for me personally, it was an amazing time. What is your experience about that tour, and what kind of things did you experience, and how did you like it in general?
For me, this has been one of the best tours in my life, I have to admit, because I've been touring a lot, but now we're on this kind of higher level that makes us have this enormous tour bus, as you know, where I'm fortunate to have the suite because I brought my family, and so it feels great. And we have a great crew that takes care of us.
Yeah.
And I have to say the best part of it all is that Wolverine girls, you girls, has been the absolute best support band in a bus I've ever shared with.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. For me personally, you're a big, big inspiration because, as you know, I'm a mom as well. And it encourages me to go on tour as a mom and be a musician as a mom and, you know, feel empowered to do what I want to do.
Good.
Yeah, yeah. Did you ever, like, how did you get into that idea of having a baby or having a family and touring? Was it did you have to think about it a lot, or was it just a given thing for you that this is going to be your future?
I just have to say, you inspire me too, touring and having a baby girl. And we inspire each other.
Yeah, probably. That's what we do.
Because you play a lot too. Mm-hmm. For me, it hasn't been given.
Mm-hmm.
I've been touring with Thunder Mother for 16 years and postponed the idea of having a baby girl or boy because I want to do music that much.
Yeah.
And it's been difficult to combine growing a band and getting a baby because you have to invest so much, and it's no money in music anymore. The business is dying, I would even say. And so that was I had the opportunity now to take a decision to try to have a baby, and I took it straight away because I secretly wished for it for over 10 years and been longing for one.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And how is touring with a baby?
It is super good, easy peasy. She is happy, tour baby number one. Never cries. I'm lucky, you know. She's just hanging out with everybody,
yeah,
you know.
She is a lovely girl. I love her.
It's great.
Yeah. So is there a big difference from touring as a non-mom and a mom? Like, do you see any big differences?
Well, I'm out of my head, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, yeah. I totally see what you...
Not the number one anymore.
Yeah.
And not your band is not even number one anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Which has been great for me, because I always wanted everyone to be happy. That's been my priority.
Mm-hmm.
Checking in with everybody, and I'm so also super sensitive, so it takes energy for me to make sure everyone feels okay, because mm-hmm. it's always somebody doesn't feel okay.
Yeah,
and it personally takes a toll on me. But now I don't have to focus so much on people anymore. I focus only on one person.
It makes you more relaxed in a sense.
I am more relaxed. Yeah.
Paradoxically, it makes you more relaxed, and it makes you. That's my experience. It makes you extremely focused on what you want to do. Like I personally, I did lots of things before my actual musical career started. And my musical career started right at the point when I got pregnant, basically. Like I did music before, but then it took a leap when I got a child. And it made me focus on things. Like it made me focus on music alone and my child.
Yes, I agree totally. Everything else like disappears. And for you and me, it has been better musically, I guess, also to have a baby.
Yeah.
I relax more. I'm more happy. Mm-hmm. I, you know, everything is easier, even if people think it would be the opposite.
Yeah.
But it's much easier now. Yeah.
And you live healthier. That's my experience.
Yeah, sure.
Because you have to be responsible for somebody. So you can't always drink beer and party and, you know, go out. Yeah. I have the impression that you enjoy your life a lot with your baby around.
Yeah. Absolutely. We just came back from a walk and because I don't party hard and go out, I can go for long walks and I experience the cities better. My memory is improved. Well, it's a lot of benefits.
Yeah. And the cool thing is that your baby gets the chance to see her mom play so early. Like sometimes she's up when you and Thunder Mother are playing and your partner goes up the stage and holds your baby up and she can see what her mom is doing. This is amazing.
Yeah, with headphones, I have to say. Really good headphones.
But yeah, of course with
and
headphones.
I'm always like, go down with the baby. I'm playing now. But she's always smiling to the audience and everyone's like, ah, you can hear the audience.
Yeah, it's lovely.
We're a rock and roll band from Sweden. Here's my baby. Rock and roll.
And you're a real Thunder Mother now, which is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, so cool. Rock and roll and my baby is my life now.
Mm-hmm.
I want to combine both.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's such an inspiration for me and probably for so many other female musicians, because I personally think that lots of girls, especially in their 30s, have to or think that they have to decide between an artistic career and mothership.
You inspired me as well, because I was talking to you and I said, I'm going to fly in for these shows this summer. I don't know. I feel a little anxious about leaving her home. And you said it was easy. And I was like, yeah. So now actually I'm inspired. I'm just taking her with me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to think. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm taking her with me. And even my mom is coming for a few shows.
Yeah.
So I'm not thinking. I'm just doing. And obviously she is very healthy, happy baby, socially skilled.
Yeah, exactly.
I think it would be more dangerous to keep a baby inside and not to show her the world.
And I think it would be even more dangerous if you, as a mom, hold yourself back from the things you actually want to do, and then subconsciously transfer your frustration on that baby.
100%.
Yeah. So I think we just do the best we can do to make us both happy in a way, ourselves and our kids, and that's the best we can do.
Yeah, and I refer back to the beginning. I've never been this happy and relaxed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it is crazy. Yeah, awesome. I don't want to keep your time for too long, but I'm just interested in how your musical upbringing looks like. When did you start playing guitar, or did you play other instruments earlier, or how did that look like?
I don't think it's super interesting to hear about. So yeah, I had instruments around at home as everyone else.
And
started in a little competition with my brother. That's it.
Awesome. That's the whole story.
It's not interesting to hear about.
For me, it is interesting because I'm interested in how especially girls get into their musical career, because some of them, like I talked with Sonia the other day, and she said she started with the flute.
Yeah, me too.
Really? Did you? it's funny. I don't know. It's some kind of a common thing.
it's actually, we have it. It's like the law. Oh. So in kindergarten, we get our first flute in Sweden.
Oh.
And we had to learn notes when we start to read.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's a part of our school system.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, I had the recorder, like the wooden flute for 2 years.
And that's a part of our system.
Yeah, yeah.
So everyone had to play the flute, but I was just, I when we started the flute classes, I already knew everything about the flute.
Yeah,
because I started when I was super super small.
Did you want to have a female band on purpose, or was it just, you know, or did it just grow out of your out of the people you were surrounded with? Or what? Or why is Thunder Mother an all female band?
It wasn't from the beginning.
Uh huh.
No, I had a male drummer, and I don't really remember, to be honest with you, but I think I thought that would be cool with an all female like Airborne.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
cool.
That was my original idea.
Yeah.
Back in 2009. Mm-hmm. It wasn't possible to have only girls where I was living.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I moved to Stockholm and looked for band members.
Yeah.
So I was unemployed. I had no band members, but I already said I had a band called Thunder Mother. I walked around and told people to make a fuss about it, but I had some songs.
Yeah.
Shoot to Kill and Thunderous and stuff.
Yeah.
But no band members. So I walked into a jeans shop and said, do you have a job for me? No, unfortunately, we don't hire right now. Okay, do you know any singers? So that was how it started.
Very cool. I hear that a lot when I personally come from a rural area, and I've been playing guitar basically since I'm 10. And I was always looking for band members, and I played with males for a very long time because there was just no female player anywhere.
Mm.
And now that I'm, you know, spreading my wings anywhere, basically, I find women to play with too.
Mm.
But it's a bit harder, right?
Yeah, now when you're settled, it's easier to find.
Like, it is easier to find.
On the higher level.
Exactly, yeah.
Definitely, I feel the same.
Mm-hmm.
So it had to take me to a high level to also find like really good female musicians.
Mm-hmm.
So a few fell off during the way.
Well,
as we grow better, you also have to improve.
Mm-hmm.
And some females I've been playing with just not interested in improving on your instrument.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And for me, that's been very important because I want the Thunder Mother to be a big band, not a hobby project.
Yeah, and you also want to be Thunder Mother, want Thunder Mother to be a band and not necessarily a band which is only with females.
Exactly.
You know?
So it's, I prefer than a dude, if that was the case, or whatever.
Yeah.
Not a girl, meeting or what you call it, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, hangout. Totally. It's not about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the band.
Yeah.
Music and being good on stage and entertaining people.
Yeah.
So people who buy a ticket for €40 has to be entertained.
Definitely, yeah. Absolutely.
You got to live up to that expectation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can you remember any experience during that tour which was especially nice for you or especially cool?
This tour?
This tour, yeah.
Oof. I think this second leg of the tour has been more fun than the first leg of the tour because I'm more relaxed now.
Because
the first time I had a baby with me.
Yeah.
And my dad was with me on the first leg, which I thought was really fun to actually hang out with my dad, who's a pensioner.
Yeah.
He's an old chef.
Uh-huh.
Now just relaxing life and really enjoys it.
Yeah,
and finally,
he's amazing.
Finally getting into what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
So he's coming with me, living the rock and roll life, selling merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
Has been one of the best things for me. And as soon as he got home from the first leg of the tour, because he just wanted to do one leg.
Yeah.
Now we have another guy called Otto.
Yeah.
He went home and made a tattoo on his arm, a skull. So he's a rock dad.
He's a rocker now.
So that was a highlight for me to bring my dad.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Leonard is an amazing character. I really like him too.
Mm.
Nice. Do you want to say anything to the audience here? Do you want to say anything? What's on your mind?
Anything is possible, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what kind of podcast this is. Is this a music podcast or baby podcast?
Both.
So I suggest you should hashtag baby on this one.
Yeah.
but for sure, anything is possible. You can just bring your kid, boy, or if you're a man or a girl, I guess, if you want children. Yeah. Because it's life. They are life.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. Thank you, Filippa, for the interview.
Thank you. And don't forget to practice your guitar.
Yeah, that's a good point. Exactly. Don't stop practicing.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mittlerweile ist ein wenig Zeit vergangen. Der Tourblues ist überwunden und es stehen neue musikalische Abenteuer an. Meine Zeit on Tour mit Wolverine, Cobra Spell und Thunder Mother war jedenfalls unvergesslich. Eine Erfahrung fürs Leben. In 2 Wochen geht's weiter mit einer regulären Folge von Schneeweiß und Rosenrot. Euch allen eine schöne Zeit und bis dahin, eure Cora.